Wynton Marsalis is one of the gifted jazz musicians in our world. The story tells of a time he was part of a small combo group performing a jazz concert at a club in New York City. The set was unfolding, everything was going smoothly, the energy level was high, folks were enjoying it, the music was amazing, but things really almost stopped when Marsalis himself stepped up and began to perform a trumpet solo of the song, "I Don't Stand a Ghost of a Chance Without You." It's a melancholy song full of murmurs and sighs, and the way he was playing it on the trumpet, you could almost hear the words in the notes that he was playing. The crowd was listening in awe and reverence, soaking in the talent, the beauty of the performance. When it happened, in the midst of this powerful, profound, key moment in this song, a cell phone went off. An awkward, high-pitched, electronic, strange little melody, right in the moment of hitting a high point in the song. Marsalis stopped and looked around. The crowd breathed in deeply and looked to find the offending party. And everybody looked back wondering what Marsalis was going to do, whether he was going to be angry, whether he was going to walk off the stage. And after a moment, he put the trumpet back to his lips and he began to recreate that strange little cell phone tune, playing it over and over and then gradually adding some notes in and changing keys. And before long, expanding what this not real pretty cell phone melody until it became beautiful and adding to it and building up until all of a sudden the crowd realized he had made this transition from cell phone melody to pick right back up at that key moment in the song and played that song to its conclusion. And the crowd erupted when he finished with a standing ovation, seeing this gifted musician who took this terrible interruption and worked it into art, beauty, wonder. The reality is, in all of our lives, there are interruptions and bad things that seem to hit us right when we think we've got everything going right. Life is difficult. Bad things happen. Interruptions come and distract us when we're on the way to the goals we've set for ourselves. And how we handle those bad times, those interruptions, those unexpected things that come our way, often give a clear picture of what kind of faith we have. Jeremiah is writing to the people of Judah, of Israel, at a point when they truly think life as they know it has been turned upside down. By this point, the people of Israel have been struggling to live out their faith. A variety of prophets have come and called them to faithfulness, called them to do things the way God wanted them done. And the people continued to turn away from God. Already, by this point, north and south of Israel have split, and the northern kingdom's been attacked. Here, we see Jeremiah responding after Judah has been attacked by Babylon, and many of their key people have been taken into exile. And he writes them a pastoral letter. And within this letter is a verse that I suspect most of us know pretty well. If I were to take a poll today and ask you to name your favorite Bible verse, I suspect we'd hear some John 3:16s, we'd hear some Psalm 23s, We'd probably hear some other ones as well. But I have a feeling that somewhere in the list we would find Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. It's one of those wonderful promises that we claim that God has a plan for us. Plans to prosper us and not to harm us. I've seen this in calligraphy in many homes and church offices. What a beautiful promise it is of God who has a plan for our lives to do good for us. But we've got to hear what this verse says within its context and understand what Jeremiah is saying in the whole flow of this passage. In many ways, it would be a whole lot easier to preach a sermon just on Jeremiah 29:11 because we'd all hear that and go, isn't that cool? God has a plan for me. He's working out his plans for me, and he's going to take care of me. When we pay attention to the context of this verse and the message Jeremiah is really giving to the Hebrew people, it's a much more challenging message, however. I told Amy, this would be one of those days I would like to be in a church where I had at least a 30-minute sermon time slot, because there's a lot going on here. And it challenges us, even centuries later, to hear the message that God is sending to the people through Jeremiah. The people are in exile. They've been taken captive. They are far away from home. Jerusalem's in shambles, the temple's destroyed, and understand these are people who by and large thought God was in the temple. God was in a place. And so the people of Israel in exile struggled to understand, how do we worship God when we can't get to the place where God is? And so they were caught in despair. They thought God had abandoned them. They thought they had nothing to live for, very little to get excited about. And Jeremiah sends a letter. And it's a letter that contains both hope and challenge. And if we really hear this from the perspective of the Hebrew people, there's parts of this letter that wouldn't have been all that welcome, that wouldn't have made them all that excited. Because as Jeremiah writes this letter, the message he's giving to the people is, settle in. Make a home where you are. Have children. Give your children in marriage. Build homes. Plant crops. Make yourselves at home in this foreign country. And work for the good of the people around you, and pray for them. My suspicion is the Hebrew people didn't want to pray for the Babylonians because those were the enemies. These were the folks who'd taken them from home, forced them to live away from home, had defeated them, destroyed their city, and Jeremiah is sending word to them saying, make yourselves at home in this foreign place. Work for the good of these people you don't want to like. Pray for these people who are your captors. And understand as they do well, you do well. And the people probably hear that thinking, I don't want to work with these people. I don't want to pray for these people. And yet, in a radical way, God is, through Jeremiah, saying, make yourselves at home and be faithful even in this foreign place and work for the good of these people who've taken you into exile. Pray for them. Live among them. Care for them. Do good for them. And 70 years down the road, God will bring you as a people home. Now, given the lifespans probably in the medical care then, being told in 70 years the people will get to go home for most of those folks meant, well, I won't be one of those. So invest yourself where you are. It may not be where you want to be. It may not be the life situation you had planned for yourself. But make a life, a faithful life, where you are. Don't pack up and run away. Don't get caught up in that built-in fight or flight instinct to fight or to run away, but get involved, get invested, make peace, show God's love, stick around, put down roots, be the people God calls you to be, even in a foreign land. And in that message, they're called to be faithful. And it's to them in that setting that this beautiful promise is spoken. Make a life where you are. Be the people I've called you to be. And know that even in the moments when you struggle at life not being the way you thought it should be, God says, I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come to me and pray to me and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me. When you seek me with all your heart, I will be found by you, declares the Lord. And it's important for us to recognize as we read that beautiful promise that even though we tend to read that thinking, oh, isn't that wonderful, God made that promise to me, the you here is plural. What God's saying is to the people of God, the people of Israel, in good Southern, I know the plans I have for y'all. We struggle as American readers of Scripture because our culture is so much built on individualism and standing up for yourself and the rights of the individual, but so much of Scripture is based on mindsets built around community. God cares for His community. Now this, I'm not saying God doesn't care for us personally, but this is a promise made to the people of God in exile. I know the plans I have for y'all who think I've abandoned you. Plans to prosper y'all. I don't know if that's literal translation of the Hebrew or not, but it is the implicit meaning. This is a promise to y'all, the people of God. And as His church these days, we are called to hear this same message. Because I think what Jeremiah spoke to the Hebrew people in exile is still a word God speaks to His people, the church. And I confess, I needed to study this passage this week. I needed to hear the elements of this message this week. Because we live in a culture that often doesn't feel like home. And we watch the news, I don't know about you, but I watch the news and I get discouraged and angry. I see wars and rumors of wars. I see politics built around winning more than the care for the common good. I see bullying in politics and on social media and anger and blame. And there are moments I want to say, God, where are you? Because everything, so much around us seems broken. It's easy to get discouraged, especially for those of us who in our early childhood read and heard all those books where after the struggle of the story, the people live happily ever after. And then we get to be grown-ups and it doesn't work that way. Life is rough. Bad things happen. Brokenness is real. And at times, we in the church look at a broken world and think, we can't do anything. How do we live? And the temptation for church, when so much around us seems overwhelming, is to pull in on ourselves and take care of our own. Because that we know how to do. But I think the message Jeremiah sent to the people of God then is one that can be applied to us. You're here in this world, broken as it is. So make lives. Plant roots. Settle in. And live faithfully. Working for the good of everybody. Praying for those inside the church, but also for those outside the church. Often I hear folks, especially in church, saying, oh, if we could just go back to the good old days. I wonder how many times the Israelites said that. But we're not going back to the good old days, which weren't all that good for some parts of the population anyway. We're called to live in God's presence right now and to be God's people in a world that may not feel like home. And to be a people who live out our faith by caring for, working for the good, not only of our own, but of all people. Working for and praying for those outside who may feel like enemies to us. The Hebrew people were called to care for, work for, and pray for their captors. And over again in Scripture, we're told to love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us. And so I'm convinced, if we as God's people, God's y'all of this day, hear what Jeremiah is saying, it challenges us much more than just holding on to the promise that God has a plan for us. But hearing the call, to be a people who live in a world that feels foreign and to live as Jesus did in a way that works for the benefit of our communities, our nation, our world. It means we're called to pray for our neighbors, our Christian neighbors, our non-Christian neighbors, our atheist neighbors, our Democrat neighbors, our Republican neighbors. Our Jewish neighbors, our Muslim neighbors, our Buddhist neighbors, our Hindu neighbors. God was calling Israel to be His people in a foreign country and to live faithfully and to love and pray, even for those who took them into captive. What does it mean for us to be the church shaped by this kind of calling? We're called to be a people who hear the promise of God, who reminds us in a world where we feel overwhelmed and out of place, you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. As we live out our calling, as we trust that God has a plan for the church, that God is not finished with the church, even when we wonder what the future of the church is. That God says, seek Him and we will find Him. And in seeking Him, we'll find the power and the strength to be the people He calls us to be in our community. Because God is all around us. A father tells of a time he and his young daughter went on a cruise not long after he lost his wife, her mother, to death. It had been a painful, difficult time. And he decided they needed to get away from the house, have a little fun together. They went on this cruise. One night while they were getting ready for bed, his daughter asked him a question. Said, Daddy, does God love us as much as Mommy did? He thought about it. He knew the answer, but he wanted a way to communicate to her. And so he took her up on the top deck of the ship, overlooking the water. And he pointed out one direction and he said, honey, God's love reaches farther than you can see in that direction. And then he pointed the other way and says, God's love reaches farther than you can see in that direction, and that direction, and that direction, and that direction, and down even past the depths of the water. God loves us more than we can comprehend. The girl looked around for a moment and soaked it in. And she said, oh, just think, Daddy, we're right in the middle of it all. We may at times wonder what's going on around us. Things happen to us that throw us off course. We live in a world where there is brokenness. But God's not just in this building. God is out there loving us, and we're right in the middle of it all, called to be God's people, even in this world that may not be our final home. To work for the good of everyone and pray for everyone that they might know this love of God too. Will you pray with me now? We thank you, God, that you can transform the interruptions and the struggles and the brokenness of our lives into new melodies and new beginnings. Remind us, Lord, that we are called to be your people in this broken world. And Lord, even as we live life in the meantime, waiting for you to complete your work, empower us and challenge us not to fall into despair, not to give up hope, but to keep believing in your promises and working for your kingdom. Forgive us when we're tempted to give up, and renew our commitment to do your good work, even when we see so much bad around us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.